Good morning and happy Father's Day to all of you. And I'm glad you're here with me in the house of the Lord. And we have a couple of things to share with you with regard to our prayer list. Rena Drakeford, this is Charlene's aunt, 100 years old, I believe. And she had a fall this week, though, and she had to have stitches in her arm or forehead. But I think she's not in the hospital. She's doing all right at home, but she had a pretty good fall. And then we have another lady that's in the hospital this morning. Her name is Rose, and I must confess, with great embarrassment, I do not know her last name. She sits back there in that corner, usually, and lives up on Brunfield Lane. If any of you know her last name, please let me know. Okay. All right. So we'll get a card to her. And I believe that's all the announcements, except I will emphasize the passing of Geneva Hill, one of our old-time members. Geneva was 103, and she passed away this week. And there will be just a graveside service tomorrow at 2 o'clock at Maple Grove Cemetery. I forgot to put 2 o'clock on there, but that's the time for the graveside service. So if you want to be there at 2 o'clock. At the cemetery. But it's Father's Day, and I hope that you told your father you loved him today. And the idea of God being our Father is surprisingly rare in the Old Testament. It's only mentioned about 15 times in the entire Old Testament. In Psalm 103, the psalmist says, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those that fear him. That's one reference. But Jesus made the fatherhood of God a top priority in his teaching. He referred to God as Father about 165 times just in the gospel accounts. Over 100 times in the Gospel of John. And although Jesus didn't give us a step-by-step parenting manual, he did give us some important insights about fatherhood. Jesus said, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. He demonstrated what God is like, not just with his words, but with his actions. So, which tells me that fathers must be consistent in their day-by-day contact with their kids. Kids are keen observers. I'm sure you who are parents have recognized that. They notice whether we keep our promises, whether we treat other people with respect, whether we can handle stress without losing our self-control. Watch what I do is sometimes more important than do what I say. But the central message about fatherhood is seen in the obedience of Jesus. On the night of the Lord's Supper, he prayed to his Father, "I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do." At this table, we commemorate the Savior's obedience as he suffered and died for us on the cross. So let this loaf and cup tell us again how he gave his body and his blood to save us.
Celebrate our fathers, and most of us, our fathers are no longer with us, and we just think about how it would be to be able to sit down and speak to them for just a few minutes. But thanks to you, Lord, you provided that opportunity. When our life is finished here on earth, we have a chance to be where our fathers are, and we realize it took your son to only his body and blood for us to have that opportunity. And we partake of these emblems and remembrance of that sacrifice. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come here today and we thank you for your many blessings, Lord. Lord, we pray that you would bless the offering, Lord, bless the gift and the giver. Lord, as we celebrate Father's Day, we thank you for all the good fathers that we've had. And Lord, we pray a special prayer for the fathers that are younger, coming up, Lord. We pray that you would give them strength and wisdom to be good fathers, to guide and lead their children, Lord, and to be an example for their children. Lord, we just thank you for your many blessings that you give us each day. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Turn with me, please, to hymn number 133. Turn also to number 516 and sing "I Love to Tell the Story."
Thank you.
Our prayer hymn this morning, we're going to share on just the first verse of hymn number 545, He Lifted Me.
That's the first verse as we stand for
Heavenly Father, I guess we really don't think about You often enough, Lord. And we need to remind ourselves more often that You are the Father who provides everything we need to live in this world. And it's true we don't think all that much about our earthly fathers and what they do for us either. Please forgive our short-sightedness and help us appreciate all they do to teach us, to grow us, to turn us into decent, God-loving people. We do appreciate our fathers, Lord. And just as many of Your gifts to us are invisible, so also are many of the benefits we derive from our parents. And we thank You for them, for the things they have done without so we could have, for their foresight in planning for our future, for their serious efforts to teach us wrong from right, and to teach us the blessings of a Christian life. Lord, our prayer this morning is that You will give us eyes to see how much like You our daddies have been, and bless them for loving us that much. For we pray in the name of Your Son, Jesus. Amen. Today is Father's Day, and my first thought was to preach a sermon about God, our Heavenly Father. That would certainly be appropriate. There's a lot to say about Him, and there's much that needs to be said about Him. But I finally decided on a different idea. A sermon about our earthly fathers. Everybody has one. good or not so good, we all have one. And based on a sermon based on scriptures from a book of the Bible that's not so often used for sermons, and that is the book of Ecclesiastes. No, the book of Proverbs. Never hear a sermon about from the Song of Solomon either, do you? There are a few things my dad did teach me, though. My dad taught me about religion. He said, you'd better pray that that stain will come out of the carpet. And he taught me about logic, too. He had a way of saying, because I said so, that's why. That's logic. Hopefully our fathers did teach us a lot of things, and many of them were good. The late Irma Bombeck was known for her humor. And she said this on a more serious vein about her father. And I'm quoting Irma Bombeck. She said, one morning my father didn't get up and go to work. He went to the hospital and died the next day. I hadn't thought that much about him before. He was just someone who left and came home and seemed glad to see everyone at night. He opened the jar of pickles when nobody else could. He was the only one in the house who wasn't afraid to go down in the basement by himself. He sometimes cut himself shaving, but no one kissed it or got excited about it. It was understood that when it rained, he would get the car and bring it around to the door. And if someone was sick, he was the one who would go get a prescription filled. And he took lots of pictures, although he was never in any of them. She said, whenever I played house, the mother doll had a lot to do. I never knew what to do with the daddy doll. So I had him say, I'm going off to work now. And I threw him under the bed. The funeral was in our living room, and a lot of people came and brought all kinds of good food and cakes. We never had so much company before. I went to my room and felt under the bed for the daddy doll. And when I found him, I dusted him off and put him on my bed. He never did anything. I didn't know his leaving would hurt so much. I'll tell you, any time we lose someone we love, it hurts. Some of you still have your fathers and some of you don't. But I think we need to remember and appreciate our fathers the best we can. And if your father is still living, somehow you need to try to express that appreciation and let him know. But let me share, I picked three scriptures from the book of Proverbs that I think will help us to honor our fathers. And the first one is about a father's command. That's in, if you have a Bible handy and you want to turn to Proverbs, chapter 6, verse 20. It says, my son, keep your father's commands and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Keep your father's commands. Seems to me a father should have a few commands for his children. There's a mother named Jennifer Mangan who wrote about her daughter Caitlin, who was at that time was about 14. This was a few years ago. But Jennifer said about her daughter Caitlin, she reads the Bible, wears t-shirts that proclaim, I believe in God, writes down scripture passages for friends who need encouragement, She's an honor roll student and has some admirable goals for her future. Caitlin also loves watching music videos and television programs like Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Friends. This is why you know it's a few years ago. She goes on to say, since I've written newspaper articles about television for the past 10 years, I thought I had a handle on what my kids were watching. I felt my endless commentary, that's a polite way to say nagging, my endless commentary about appropriate and inappropriate programs had sunk in. But somewhere between tween and teen, I lost control of the remote control. I remember walking into our rec room one night and finding Caitlin laughing along with the laugh track of Friends. Now, you remember Friends. It's still on. They keep running and running and running it. But it was a very popular program. Jennifer says, I asked, what are you watching? Even though I recognized the program immediately. And her daughter, Caitlin, said, Friends, Mom. There's nothing wrong with it. And Jennifer says, I sat down and watched the episode with Caitlin. The central plot of the show glamorized the premarital sex affair between characters Monica and Chandler and emphasized the specifics of their sex life. You shouldn't be watching this, I said. Oh, Mom, it's funny. I don't take any of this stuff seriously. Well, at that moment, Jennifer recognized that all of her warnings and her fiery commands forbidding offensive programs had been shoved aside by peer pressure and teen curiosity. Did you notice the mother said, you shouldn't be watching this? That was her fiery command. I've known some mothers like that and some fathers who were quick to give commands. God bless them. In fact, we know the whole reason behind our commands, even if the children don't. The reason we give commands is because we love them. It's because we care about them. We want to steer them in the right direction in life. Certain commands are necessary. It's like what some parents have said to their children. What part of the word no do you not understand? You know? It's not wrong to tell your kids no in regard to some things. In fact, if you don't tell them no to certain things, I would question your parenting skills. One dad used to say to his children, do not talk back to your mother. And that, he made clear, was a command. A command to be obeyed. And if it wasn't, his kids weren't. Weren't what? They weren't going to like what they were going to get. And it wasn't something good. Commands are necessary for proper living. God has given plenty of commands in His Word, certainly. If they aren't good for us, why would He give them to us? Commands are necessary for proper living. They're just necessary for every father to dish out to his children once in a while. They help. So thank God for your father's commands. And if he's still living, thank him for his love, for loving you enough to care how you turn out. There's another verse in Proverbs, chapter 11. Verse 25, which says, "A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." That sounds like a good father, doesn't it? Of course, that could apply to any man, single or otherwise. But I wanted to apply to fathers. Blessed is the father who's generous to others. He will be blessed. There's a very, very well-known contemporary Christian singer by the name of Michael W. Smith. And here's what he said about his father. He said, "When my dad comes up missing at a dinner party, I always know where to find him. In the kitchen. He'll be in there, apron around his waist, washing dishes." That's just one example of his servant's heart. Serving seems to come naturally and effortlessly for my father. I remember one time he was working in the garage and he saw an elderly lady walking by the house carrying a big bag of groceries, and he immediately dropped what he was doing and went out to help her. Time and time again I've watched him drop what he was doing to help someone carry groceries or fix a car or repair some appliance. I hope someday I'll be as good at serving others as he is. If that happens, I'll have to say I learned it from my dad. Well, I would say that Michael W. Smith has a generous and blessed father. See, not all generosity comes in the form of money. When you say generosity, you think shelling out the bucks. But it takes other forms. Serving others is one of those forms. And I think Michael Smith's dad was a tremendous example to his son. There was a preacher by the name of Steve Shepherd who said, "One time when my truck driving father was building a room onto our old house in Webb City, Missouri, he said, Dad was a truck driver, not a house builder. But he did what he had to do, like most fathers did long ago, and some still do. In fact, Dad would do things I wouldn't even dare to try. But one day, while Dad was framing that room, a neighbor man came over and offered to help Dad. And help him he did, all day long. I don't remember if he came back and helped more or not, but he was a generous man, just like Michael W. Smith's father." This lady said, "My dad didn't pay him for his work, but I'm sure he got paid, because good deeds have a way of coming back to you. The scripture says, a generous man will prosper. A generous man will be blessed." I think one of the best stories I ever heard about a father's generosity was one man talked about an incident where when he was a teenager, he and his father were standing in line to buy tickets to see a circus. Finally, there was only one family between them and the ticket booth. And the family in front of them had made a big impression on him. There were 8 children in the family, all under the age of 12. And you can tell they didn't have a lot of money. Their clothes were clean, but they were not expensive. The children were very well behaved, all of them standing in line behind their dad, 2 by 2, holding hands. And they were jabbering about their clowns and the elephants and the other acts that they were going to see that night. You could tell they'd never been to a circus before. Promised to be a highlight experience for them. The father and mother were at the head of the pack, standing just as proud as they could be. The mother was holding her husband's hands and looking up at him as if to say, "You're my knight in shining armor." And he was smiling and basking in pride. The ticket lady asked the father how many tickets he wanted, and he proudly said, "Let me buy 8 children's tickets and 2 adult tickets so I can take my whole family to see the circus." And the ticket lady quoted the price. And the man's wife let go of his hand, and her head dropped. And the father leaned a little closer and said, "How much did you say?" And she quoted the price again. He didn't have enough money. But how was he supposed to turn around and tell his 8 kids he didn't have enough money to take them to the circus? Well, seeing what was going on, this lady that's telling the story, seeing what was going on, my dad put his hand in his pocket, pulled out a $20 bill, and dropped it on the ground. And she said they were not wealthy by any means. And then my father reached down, picked up the bill, tapped the man on the shoulder, and said, "Excuse me, sir, I think this fell out of your pocket." Of course, the man knew what was going on. He wasn't begging for a handout, but he sure appreciated the help in that situation. He looked straight into the father's eye, took his hand in both of his and squeezed tightly as he took that $20 bill and said, "Thank you, thank you. This really means a lot to me and my family." Well, the girl that was telling the story said, "My father and I went back to our car and drove home. We didn't go to the circus that night, but we didn't go without." Yeah. A generous man will prosper. A generous man will be blessed. Now, I'm sure that in some way, at some time, that father was blessed, because God blesses generous fathers. There's one other scripture I want to share with you. It's in the 3rd chapter of Proverbs, verses 5 and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight." And then again in the 16th chapter, "Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed." I like those two passages. As they talk about a person who walks by faith in the Lord and commits everything he's doing to the Lord. And that's the kind of person all fathers should be. R.A. Torrey was a preacher of a generation or two back and a writer. He received a letter one day asking him to visit a woman who was principal of a school. And he went to see her, and during the conversation, she said, "I don't believe anything. I don't even read the Bible, because it seems wrong for me to read it and disbelieve everything that's in it." Well, she talked about her disbelief for a while, and as she talked, tears came to her eyes, and Dr. Torrey asked her why she was crying. She said, "Oh, there's one thing I can't get over, and that's my father's life. He was a minister of the gospel, and whenever I think of the life he lived, I feel there must be something in Christianity I can't get over, his life." Well, a father doesn't have to be a minister of the gospel to trust God and live a Christian life. Any father can do that. A few years back, on a rainy August day, two young mountain climbers decided they would scale one of the highest peaks in the Swiss Alps. And though they were young and inexperienced, really, they felt very confident in their mountain climbing abilities. Too confident, it seemed. For in spite of the weather, which was deteriorating, they boldly went forth from the little village of Randa at the base of the mountain, and their goal for that day was to reach a halfway point called the High Hut, where they would spend the night before tackling the summit of the mountain. Well, they moved up the trail through the forest as the rain continued to fall, and soon they were soaked because they hadn't dressed for rain. At 6 p.m., the rain turned to snow, and the trail before them became increasingly difficult to follow, and they became lost. By 8 p.m., night had fallen. It was pitch black, and they were soaked, shivering, and heading toward hypothermia. Then, just as their situation became desperate, something miraculous happened. Out of the darkness, a little light began to flicker. Even at a distance, it shone bright as a lighthouse to those two shivering, frightened young men. Where to come from? Well, before retiring for the night, the keeper of the High Hut, the halfway station, did what he always did. He placed a kerosene lamp next to the door, just in case. Just in case someone might be out there lost in the dark, and his simple action saved two lives. Now, that's not just a warning for climbers. It should be a call to action for every father. Our children start out with great hopes of reaching high places, but they're walking right into the growing darkness of a fallen world. I pray for children to grow strong roots in the Lord, because they're going to need that strength when they get out into the world on their own. They need fathers and mothers to show them the light of Christ, to guide them and keep them safe. I don't know where these statistics came from, but this article said it's been determined that when both parents are faithful to the Lord and active in the church, 93% of the time their children will remain faithful. When only one parent is faithful and active in the church, 74% of the time the children will remain faithful. When both parents are reasonably faithful but not active in the church, 53% of the time the kids are going to be faithful. And when both parents attend only occasionally, 6% of the time the children might remain faithful to the Lord. So I say, thank God for all the fathers and parents in this world who live out their faith in Christ. I'm sure you've heard of Chuck Swindoll. He's been a voluminous writer and preacher. He said these words about his father. He said, "My dad died last night. He left like he had lived, quietly, graciously, with dignity, Without demands or harsh words, or even a frown, he surrendered himself into the waiting arms of his Savior. As I stroked his hair back from his forehead and kissed him goodbye, 100 boyhood memories played around in my head. When I learned to ride a bike, he was there. When I wrestled with the multiplication table, his quick wit smoothed out the hassle. When I discovered the adventure of driving a car, he was nearby, encouraging me. When I got my first job, delivering newspapers, he informed me how to increase subscriptions and win a prize, and it worked. When I mentioned a young woman I'd fallen in love with, he pulled me aside and talked straight about being responsible for her welfare and her happiness. He said, when I did a hitch in the Marines, the discipline I had learned from him made it easier. Last night I said goodbye. I'm still trying to believe it. So God bless you, fathers. And God bless you all for remembering your fathers, past and present. Of course, we don't want to admit our Heavenly Father from this message, because he's our role model all the way. The Bible urges us to behave toward him like he does toward us. But even more important, he is our Redeemer. It was God who laid out a cure for the problem of sin before the problem even existed. He knew what had to be done, and he spent centuries preparing us to understand and embrace his plan. His plan included his son Jesus suffering and dying so we could be saved. What a thoughtful, generous, unselfish Heavenly Father we have. Who can say no to his marvelous plan offered to us at the expense of the life of the Son of God? What a precious gift. Who could say no? We're going to sing our hymn of invitation, which is number 312, just the first and the last verses, as we stand and sing together. Happy Father's Day. And we look forward to seeing you next week or tomorrow afternoon. Let's pray. Lord God, we pray that our homes may shine with the brilliance of your love as we care for one another and as we reach out to bless others with the redeeming love of Christ. We ask that you give us appropriate appreciation for those who have loved us and cared for us and provided for us and loved us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Oh.